This is Brian Tarquin, and you're listening to Guitar Tracks on WFIT 89.5 FM. Today, it's my pleasure to have my buddy Chris Poland from Megadeth. Here we are together on a track called Hunting from last year's release, Guitars for Wounded Warriors. Chris is an ex-New Yorker like myself, so I wanted to see what influenced him growing up to become such a great guitar player.
Yeah, I grew up in Dunkirk, just outside of Buffalo. Yeah, Billy Sheehan, Don Lenza, the sax player from Buffalo. I started playing guitar because my cousin Eddie was playing guitar. He was in a band, and they were doing Rolling Stones covers and stuff, and I'd go to his house and look at his guitar and freak out. Well, I wanted one, but he had this thing. He had a Boss Tone Jordan, and it was the thing that plugs in your guitar. So I talked my mom and dad into buying me a guitar, and I got that little thing that I plugged in my guitar, and I think I played that guitar for years. And then I finally, you know, moved on to better guitars. But, once I got that, I was totally into Zeppelin and Jeff Beck, Cream and Hendrix, Mountain, Trower, all that stuff. And then I started getting into John McLaughlin. When I heard that kind of music, that's when I was drawn towards that. All that, you know, hard rock kind of, I would consider some of it heavy metal in my bloodstream. So when I met up with Dave, you know, that kind of playing was kind of natural to me anyway. It was just a lot faster. I think it was Beck's solo records where he was doing instrumental stuff that's when I started to really like instrumental stuff. And so that's when I listened to all kinds of fusion, Weather Report. Anyway, so then, you know, I met up with Gar, and then he was into what I was into, and then his brother played guitar, but he decided to play bass. The three of us decided to move to California, and we did, like, this fusion thing for years, and all moved out here together, 77. And then Gar got a job at BC Rich, and then he got me and his brother jobs at BC Rich. Yeah, man, I used to mill 8 guitars a day by hand. I would mill the necks and finish them, and man, I'd have linseed rag, you know, linseed oil rags from like wiping the necks down after I'd, you know, would get them done. And if you wrap them up too tight and it's like over 80 degrees, they start to smoke. During the summertime, I'd be like, oh God, you're not gonna go put this rag out. Linseed oil is really combustible. From milling, you know, using just your right arm to do all that sanding and milling, my right arm, I looked like that cartoon where the guy's got a big right arm and no left arm. And that's how I looked for like 3 years or something, and then I quit. That's about the time Megadeth took off.
Now, here's the million-dollar question. How does Chris Poland, a fusion guitarist from New York, move to California and get hooked up with Dave Mustaine, forming the largest thrash metal band in the 80s?
Dave Mustaine and Dave Ellison were running a rehearsal place called Mars Studios. Gar told me, you know, they're a three-piece band and they need a guitar player. He goes, you should just bring your stuff down, rent a room, and turn up the 10, and I guarantee they'll ask you in the band. And so that's what I did. I just took all my equipment in there. I think I had a guitar synth at the time, and I was running a guitar synth with a half-stack Marshall, something like that, you know, where like there was this weird, huge sound behind, you know, it was like really big stereo image and whatnot. I wound up selling all that to get, you know, new Marshalls. But, yeah, Dave came in and said, hey, you want to join our band? And I said, yeah, that's why I'm here. At that time, I wasn't as into guitar as I am now. But I got sober. That's when I really started getting into guitar. So after I left Megadeth was when I just started being, you know, totally obnoxious about guitar. You know, and I still am. When I joined the band, Dave had already written the first record, so I just played, you know, whatever I had to play on. When we did Peace Sells, Dave had written all of that except for the cover, but Gar had made suggestions on arrangement ideas. Peace Sells was like a 7-8 minute song. I think it was 8 minutes long, and Gar said, no, you need to, like, cut this off, cut that off, shorten it up and make it a single, because this is your single, Dave. And so he listened to I'm sure somebody at a record label, if we would have turned that record in with an 8-minute song like Peace Sells, they either would have heard it and told us to edit it, or possibly Megadeth would have never had their first single that early, you know. Actually, the second record we did for Relativity, but Capitol bought our contract out, and then we were on Capitol. Dave asked me to come in and you know, I think it was like play solos on like 4 songs, and it turned out I played solos on everything. But I mean, I didn't mind. I don't care. Once I'm in the studio, I don't care. I'll stay there forever. But it was fun. Still left Megadeth because I didn't realize it, but at the time, it was my time to get sober, you know. You know, and then Dave asked me in the band a couple times, and I just knew if I got back in the band, I would start drinking and using again, because at the time they were. And, you know, if you hang around a barber shop long enough, you're going to get a haircut, you know. So I just was like, no way, you know. It was a great experience and, you know, great records, a lot of great music, a lot of fun touring. He would get mad if I didn't do it exactly, and half the time I wouldn't. Every once in a while, I would play, like, something exact, and then he would be like, you played great tonight. I mean, that totally verbatim solo that was, like, really boring. No, I mean, it's not boring, but you know what? You know, when you're up there and you're in the moment, you want to just start, like, doing something crazy, and if you do, then sometimes you'll get yelled at, and it's like, really?
So what does a fusion guitarist do after Megadeth? He forms a fusion band. Hence, you have the birth of Ohm, a very popular band in L.A. that frequents such clubs as the Baked Potato.
Done a bunch of projects with my brother Mark, and it didn't work out, you know. We just recorded some stuff with a band called Mumbo's Brain. Yeah, I actually hooked up with Carol MacArthur, and we did like Urban Meets Eric Johnson or something, I don't know. You know, she's like, you know, got a great voice. Anyway, none of that stuff panned out, so then one day I just called up Pag and I said, hey man, let's just start a fusion band, and you know, I know we're not going to make any money, but it'll be fun. While I was doing that, people would call me up and have me guest solo on stuff, and that's always fun. You know, Lamb of God gave me a call, and that stuff's always great. Jeff Loomis gave me one of the songs on his record. I loved that song. I can't believe he chose that song for me to solo on, because it was a perfect song for what I like to do. So, you know, I get lucky like that every once in a while, and somebody gives me a call, and it's fun. Yeah, I mean, I love doing your stuff too, man. It's just fun. The studio for me is as fun as live, if not more fun, because you can, you know, you get to try twice. But recently, I've hooked up with Nick Menza and James Lomenzo. It's really good, man. I got Nick just moved his drums into my studio, and I just mic'd them all up yesterday, and I got really good drum sounds, so we're just going to record rehearsals and, you know, just take them home and listen to them. And we're doing a bunch of Megadeth songs just to appease, not a bunch, but I think three Megadeth tunes, just so that the fans will hear some Megadeth. You know, we're going to start working on making a record. Nick's really good friends with Max Norman, so that's going to be a plus. We'll be able to send Max something, and, you know, he can send it back and tell us, you know, what we're doing right or what we're doing wrong, because we really, really respect his work and opinion. It's great playing with Nick and James, because James is, like, you know, totally all over the parts, you know what I mean? He's got the right sound, and Nick, at the drop of a hat, can sound just like Gar, and it freaks me out sometimes, because I play with Gar my whole life, so when he does it, I'm like, oh my God, this sounded just like Gar. James is a great singer, and James told me that Nick's a great singer. For right now, we're just going to do a three-piece and hope that we can, you know, do it. I mean, I've been doing three-piece for 20 years, so I think we can do it. Right now, we're going to do some clinics in Europe, kind of get out there and, you know, let people know what we're doing. And then, you know, clinics are fun because, you know, you play for an hour and then 2 hours of questions and then maybe show technique and whatever, and then, you know, just go have dinner.
And for all you gearheads out there, Chris discusses his guitars and amps and what he uses live and in the studio.
Schecter built me a model. It's called the Poltergeist. It's an old Gibson scale, which is a little bit longer than what they use now. And it's got 6100 style frets, but they're a little bit thinner. So when you go to do a vibrato, your finger kind of sits between the frets and you can really get that violin vibrato. It's a compound radius 12 to 16. It's got Grover heads, got stainless steel parts on the Floyd Rose bridge. And then John Gadesi hand winds the pickups for that particular guitar, which is awesome. So if you buy a Poltergeist, you'll have the guy that's made pickups for everybody from Paul McCartney to, you know, Alan Holdsworth. Double humbucker, and the bridge is about 13, and the neck is about 7.75 or something. Yeah, they're not too high output, but there's just enough there to get the bridge, you know, crunchy, and then the neck's not so hot that it kind of blows, you know, the humbucker in the neck gets too bloated. It sounds really good. They're a really nice guitar. I mean, they're like $1,000, so, yeah, it's not too expensive for all that. It's got a Floyd. I'm using PV Classic 120s. And I bought them because the guys that I bought them from never used them. Like, I opened them up, there was no dust. The band didn't even have dust on it. So I took one of them and had it modded for EL34s. But this guy over at Valley Sound GTR, his name is Stretch, built a whole bias system for this one amp. I put the tubes in it. It sounded great. And then something came over me, and I decided I wanted to try 5881s when I started playing with Nick. So I put them in and had him bias it to those. And, God, I forgot how much I loved those tubes. Man, they can take a beating and they don't cave in. They have a little bit of compression to them, which adds to the, without using a compressor, it's like real tube compression, so it's awesome. Those 5881 tubes, they kind of compress no matter what. They kind of squish compared to a 606, which is like, they don't give at all, man. I mean, just a little bit they give. But I'm running an old Egnator Redface IE4 preamp, 4-channel preamp. I found these preamps by Hafler. They're called a 3T, and there's just something about them, man.
It was great catching up with Chris, and it's a blast playing with them. And here we are trading solos at the end of a song called Tarquinius Maximus. You're listening to WFIT 89.5 FM Guitar Tracks.